Welcome, everybody, to this special edition of the Floor Academy podcast. It was getting spicy up in Facebook land this morning, so we're live right now on my page. We're live in Flooring Installers of America, Tile Love 2.0, and Flooring Installers Forum, because that's where all the action was happening. We've got Ken Ballen with us. It's been a minute since we had him on. I don't think we had him on at all in 2023, which that's the first time you haven't been on the show in a year. So we're due. We are due to hang out, my friend. And I've been looking for an excuse to get into the pricing debate again and how we go about that. And this was the perfect opportunity because, of course, my high-end friend Ken comes in with a small, 20, 25 square foot, maybe 30 at the most, backsplash bid for $2,500. And you got denied. You did not win this project, but that's your normal price. And the internet comes flying in. I can't believe you would charge that much money. I'm only at $500. I will charge $25 a square foot, and that is the max that I will go. And let's get into it, man. I think this is fabulous. And so I don't want to stay on this too long, but let's talk about demographics. Let's talk about cost of living. Let's talk about wanting to actually make profit and own a business as opposed to owning a hobby, or maybe you own a job and do slightly better, but owning a business is the best option here, folks. So let's get into it, man. $2,500 backsplash. What are you thinking? You're crazy.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Go big or go home, right? But yeah, it's $2,500 for a backsplash. It's standard size, if 25, 30 square foot, $2,500 for ceramic or porcelain. If it's glass or stone, then I start them at $3,500. And, I don't like doing backsplashes. So mm-hmm. I've tried to price myself out of them. And they just keep paying me to do them. So I figure I'm going to keep jacking the prices up until I don't have to do them anymore. it just doesn't seem to be working. But this one in particular was funny because I got two inquiries. It had to have been yesterday. Both for backsplashes. And the one was that one that I took the screenshot of and posted that I didn't get. And then, the other one was kind of same situation, same measurements. And I gave the guy my number and he said, oh, that's great. There was a little demo involved. He was like, well, how much would it be to, if I decided to do the demo myself? And I'm like, great. I hate doing demo too. So not, go nuts, dude. Mm-hmm. And I gave him a slightly lower price. He's like, oh, that's great. Fantastic. Didn't blink an eye. It was like nothing. And then this lady was like, I think the comment was, is your decimal point in the right spot? Yes. And then she blocked me. I've never been blocked by a client before. I didn't even get the chance to have some sort of clever, quip or comeback or something. It was just a
disappointment. So you're saying $2,500 for a backsplash because, one, you hate them, which, hey, that's your prerogative. It's your business. Congratulations to you for having standards and wanting to make money and wanting to price yourself out of doing things you hate. There's not a gun to anybody's head. Nobody's forcing anybody to do this.
Well, that's why it's so funny when everybody freaks out about my prices. Like, nobody has to hire me. Nobody is being required by law to hire Ken Ballen to do anything. So, like, if they see value in what I offer or they like me, they're going to pay my rates.
Yes, 100%. But at $2,500, you're looking at a minimum 2 days, I assume? Maybe three?
Yeah, day to stick up the tile, day to grout. If I get, if the layout's on and the measurements are on, and I've had them before where I've set them and grouted them in one day and been done. And, you know, it's just, it's luck of the draw, though. Not everyone's going to be like that. Not everyone's got the perfect setup, the perfect timing. You know, the thin set sets up just enough where you can get away with grouting it. And, you know, but every once in a while it happens. And I'm not charging any less. Like, that's your price for your backsplash, regardless of how long it takes me. But on the other side, if something goes wrong and I have to take a third day, I mean, I'm not shooting myself in the foot because I only charge $500. But I'm also not charging them more because I screwed something up and have to take another day.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I don't think that's unreasonable. So you're looking at $1,250 a day. Maybe you get it done in a day, you make some bonus money. Awesome. Congratulations. But now it goes back to the old adage that we've all probably read, where the guy, the ship's engine doesn't work and they keep hiring people and they're coming in and they can't figure it out and they can't figure it out. And so they finally hire this super old man and he comes in and he takes out his screwdriver and he tweaks the screw and he says, there you go. And he sends them a bill for $10,000. And they're like, oh my God, you can't charge me $10,000. You were here for 10 minutes. And so they're like, can you break it down for us? And so he breaks it down and he's like, time to fix, $1. You know, knowledge acquired to be able to fix in 1 minute, $9,999, right? Like whatever that, I forget what number I said, right, initially, but that's the point, is you've gained a skill set that has allowed you to be efficient with your time, and they agreed. It could have been, especially on like demo projects, when we start talking about tile demo, I see people shoot themselves in the foot all the time because they bid it too low and then it's stuck down really well and it's not coming out and they're there for a week and they're come on the boards and they're, how do you get this stuff up? What tools do I need? Nothing's working. Well, you are using the wrong tools to begin with. Let us help you. But you just didn't charge enough in general. You're there too many days to bid something that low. And so like beating on the pavement here and just banging my head against the wall, you have to know your numbers. And Ken knows that he needs to make at least, it's probably at least 1,000. He's padding it at 1250.
I want to try my goal. Like when I'm doing, you know, writing an estimate or planning on a project, I'm shooting for 1500 a day for things that I'm not measuring by the foot. So like if I can look at a bathroom and say, okay, that's going to take me, you know, 2 days to demo. Well, okay, demo's $3,000. If it takes me an extra day, I'm not adding on. But if it only takes me one day, I'm not taking off either. But that's what I'm using as an estimate to, you know, base my numbers off of. I used to have a number in my head of what I needed to make each month to pay the bills. And this is kind of how this started. You know, a number in my head a month, I needed to make, let's say, $10,000 a month to pay my bills, cover it, and, you know, have a nice meal out once a week. So my $10,000 a month divided by how many days I was working, you know, divided by how many hours, you know, you can use these numbers to base your, to have these figures to write your estimates with. Now, that worked for so long. And then I kind of got into the mindset of, well, I don't want to just pay my bills. I don't want to just make, I want to push it. Mm-hmm. I want to see what I can do. Dude, I'm living on borrowed time. We only have so much time that we can, you know, put our bodies through this. And I want to make what I need to make, you know, before I can't do it anymore. So I went from, oh, I need to make $10,000 a month to how much can I make? And I'm going to keep raising those prices to max that out until my schedule slows down. So I'm going to keep raising my prices until I start slowing down. And I want to stay about, I know I've said this before, I want to stay at about a 20 to 30% close rate as long as I'm busy. If I slow down, I know I need to lower my prices to pick up. And if I'm still booked busy, then I can raise them and, you know, weed out riprap that I don't want to work for anybody.
And this is a great, here's what I've learned in having these discussions for the past 4.5 years or so. This is a great business model for an owner operator that is not looking to expand with crews, because you can, you can essentially control your workflow and you get to go fishing for Moby Dick, because you can throw out some crazy numbers. And if people decide to go with you, awesome, right? If I'm booked out 10 weeks as an owner operator and somebody comes to me and it's a project that I'd enjoy, but I, you know, I'm super busy and I don't really want to take it on, but I will, I can double my rates, throw it out at them. And if they take it, awesome, man. I just doubled my profitability on that project when I get to it in 10 weeks. If not, oh well, someone else is going to come along. I'll probably fill that week at some number. And as I get down to 3-4 weeks out, I can lower my rates, get that week booked, build the schedule back up, and go fishing for Moby Dick again. Now, if I'm in the boat where I'm running 3, 4, 5 plus crews,
you got to make
you make some sacrifices in what you can charge, right? In order to stay busy consistently and bring in enough leads, you're going to have to keep more. Your rates will have to be more maintained. There's a difference in business models, and I don't know that everybody always gets that. You've also built a brand and a reputation that everybody may not have, and that's playing a factor as well. You are the, you know, Lamborghini of backsplashes and bathrooms in your area, I would assume, as opposed to a Toyota or a Honda. And that,
yeah,
that comes at a premium, right? You've built something up and there is a premium attached to that name. It also comes with certain assurances that others may not provide. The warranty may be longer. The quality of work is slightly better. The attention to detail is probably slightly better. There's a lot of little factors that go into this. It's not just about a dollar.
No, not at all. And it's not, and I always, because you always get the comments regarding, no matter what price you put up, there's somebody that says, oh, I can't get that much in my area. And it's not about matching I know I've said this before. I've said it 1,000 times. It's not about matching my numbers. It's about matching my mindset. It's okay to be the highest priced guy or gal in the room. And that number could be lower than mine. That doesn't mean that I'm better of a tile setter or flooring store than anybody. It just means I'm better at selling my brand than other people. You know, I know what I want to make, and I know that I can use my reputation, which is very good locally. I have clients that will wait 6 months to, I've been booked out a year and a half, almost 2 years at my max with people just on my list. You know, that could go down to, you know, and it has gone down to like, oh, this week, I don't have any work yet for this week. But I mean, something always seems to pop up and get me busy again. So, I mean, it's always a gamble. It's always been a gamble. Maybe I just play my cards better than some.
Well, look, the minute you decide to open up a company and run your own business, you're betting everything on yourself. I would personally rather err on the side of caution. The example I always use is, look, this industry, this profession is hard on the body. And if we're not using, you know, proper ergonomics and movements and all that stuff, we're going to wear ourselves down even earlier. If you're not charging enough to afford the knee surgery now, you can't get it, because in 20 years, 25 years, when you need it, what are you going to do? You think you're going to pick up the phone and start calling all of those Mrs. Smiths and Mrs. Jones that you did work for and say, hey, you know, back in 2024, when I did that floor for you, I was $750 light on that bid, and I need knee surgery now, so I'm going to need $750. Tell me how that's going to go over. All right. The difference between $1,000 backsplash and a $1,200 backsplash is nothing. If you can't sell an extra $200, you've got to work on your sales skills. And I guarantee you, all of us need to work on our sales skills. And if you're going to tell me I'm not a salesman, I'm just a tile installer, I'm just a flooring installer,
what's somebody else saying? You don't have any base being in the business.
Well, it's not that you don't have any business being in the business. Again, it goes back to change your mindset. You are a salesperson even when you don't own a business. As a human, we are in sales. When you walk in a room and you meet somebody new and you're making that first impression, you are selling yourself. End of story. You are in sales. 100% of your life all the time. You don't get a choice about it. You just don't think about it like that. 99% of the problems that I see are mindset issues. You're not thinking about it right. You're too down on yourself. You don't have the confidence. And so along with this discussion of being able to go sell a $2,500 backsplash and not feeling bad or guilty about it, go over to FloorAcademyPod.com, go to the resources tab, go to the files section, and download the business budget calculator. And then it's going to ask you 8 million questions. I can put, if you leave a comment and you want it, I will put the link to the YouTube video that walks through how to use it. It's going to figure out your numbers for you. It wants to know how many days a year you want to work. It wants to know how much a year you want to make. It wants to know what all of your expenses are for your truck, your insurance, you know, all of your overhead stuff. And then it wants to know how much profit you make, and it will spit a number out at you. When you can walk into a when you can walk into a project and you know you have to sell it at $1,000 a day, you bid it a lot differently than when you think you're making money at $500 a day. So there's tools out there to make your life easier. You don't have to fight through this. You don't have to struggle. You don't have to accept living paycheck to paycheck. None of this is required, and you sure as hell are not forced to continue to work in this industry. I think that's the one of the big, I can't do anything else. Bullshit. Get up and leave. If you're not happy here, get up and leave, because you're not helping anybody.
Well, that's kind of my thing. Like, I set tile. I love setting tile. I wake up in the morning and I'm excited because I go get to set tile and lay floor. Mm-hmm. Like, I love doing it. It's not a job. It's not, you know, yes, it's how I make my money, but, you know, I genuinely love what I do. And, you know, that old saying, you know, do what you love and you never work a day in your life. Like, that's very real, you know, and so many people just get up and they don't love it. And I just don't get it. I couldn't get up every day and do something that I didn't love. But, you know, there's and every installer thinks that they're a business owner. Every installer is like, oh, I'm going to open my own business and do my own. You know what? There are installers who are just meant to work for other people. And that's mm-hmm. fine. You could be the best, most badass craftsman in the world, and you don't want to do anything, you know, on the business side, you just want to work for somebody else. There's nothing wrong with that. If that's what makes you happy and that's what, you know, you provide for your family from, like, dude, more power to you. So I'm not saying that, you know, oh, everybody needs to do this and everybody needs to be charging what I'm charging like that. That's not my mantra at all. You know, you got to chase the happy, whatever makes you happy. If you're happy being, you know, if you're happy working by yourself and charging premium rates and, you know, being able to drop what you're doing in the blink of an eye to go watch a field hockey or lacrosse or soccer game for one of the kids, you know, that sounds awesome to me. I don't think that I have it in me to go punch a time clock for somebody else. That wouldn't make me happy right now, you know, and mm-hmm. that could change as I get older. I might wake up one day and say, screw it. I want to do something else, you know, but right now I love this. Like this gets me, like, it's my thing, man. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I want to see the people that should be business owners running their own business. I want to see those entrepreneurs be successful. I also want to see the installers that don't want to run businesses be happy and successful in their own way too.
I think I've come to a new realization on that note, is that for the longest time I was saying that not everybody should be a business owner. And we know that a lot of people should be employed. And the biggest lie we're telling everyone is that you need to go work for yourself in this. As in construction, you're constantly told the only way to make money is to go work for yourself. And so that's the biggest lie being told. It's not true. There are plenty of good companies out there that pay very, very well and have great benefits. I work with some of them on a every other week basis to make them even better than they are now. But what I've come to realize lately is that that's still the biggest lie being told, but I've come to the conclusion that the reason you're told the only way you're ever going to make money is to go out on your own is because the person telling you that has no idea how to make money. That's why they're telling you that you need to go out on your own. They wouldn't be telling you to go out on your own if they knew how to make money as a business owner. They would be paying you what you were worth, and they would still be making money. So everyone's telling you to go out on your own because it's the only way you'll ever make money, because they don't know how to run a business. Yeah. It's insane.
Well, I love the people that jump in too, and oh, they're giving advice and they're, you know, you should do this, you should do that. Dude, I don't take advice from people that don't have what I want. And I think everybody needs to take that into consideration.
For sure.
If I don't have what you want, you shouldn't be listening to me. If you don't have something I want, I shouldn't be listening to you. And that something can be anything from, from having that, all the fun little toys and, the Bentley in the driveway, or it could be you're just a happy person and you get to go on vacation every once in a while with your family down to Disney. And that's like, that could be that thing that you have that I want. It doesn't have to be monetary.
Correct. Money is great. It makes life easier. It doesn't solve all your problems. It just helps you solve them more easily. But you're right. I'm not going to listen to somebody that's slaving away 18 hours a day about, running their business and grinding it out. I want to have a bunch of free time, I'm going to go look at a guy like you and I know that you drop anything you want pretty much whenever you want to be able to go donate time at your daughter's theater program and build sets, and you're involved in their games and you're out there and doing it. And I've changed my mindset, and that's where I'm at now. Like, Floor Academy has freed me up. And even when I was still running the installation company, I started looking at how I could better free up time so that I can go and be involved with my kids more and spend more time with them and invest in my family more, but still have the level of living that we've become accustomed to. And that makes you think way, way differently, because now you're being forced to solve a problem of, I need to do more with less time. So how do I increase my income? And really the only answer is you have to sell at a higher rate for less time. And in order to do that, that's a whole new education of learning how to sell or finding different clientele that will value you at that rate. And that takes time to develop. It doesn't happen overnight, but it is possible. Like, you don't have to accept what's out there, right? You don't have to accept work from a store. Oh, yes, I do. I'm living paycheck to paycheck. Back when I was doing reality television, my house was going to get foreclosed on because I wasn't paying the bill. I wanted to work in TV so badly that I didn't pay my bills to do it. That I kept my phone on so I could get jobs. I kept my internet and my electricity and my water, but I didn't pay my mortgage, and I didn't pay my HOA bill for 6 months, and they were going to foreclose on me. Luckily, the right project came along. I paid it all off, and I was back to zero. Literally at the end of it, every penny was gone, but I was even.
And that's not a bad place to be either.
No. And that project is what turned, and they came back to town. They kept me busy for 10 months. And then that got me out to New York and on a bunch of other projects that started changing my life. Meanwhile, my friends that were in film school with me and still lived locally, they were like, how are you doing it? Because they all had jobs at, just wherever, crappy jobs at retailers and stuff. And they were like, how are you doing it? And I was like, I'm not paying my bills. And they're like, wait, what? I was like, I'm not paying my bills. I was like, I'm going to go work when I can work. You're stuck not being able to take any production job that comes through town because you have to go do your shift at that retailer. I'm available. No matter what, I can go do it. And if I only work 2 days in a month, I'm going to spend the other 28 trying to figure out how I can get on the next show.
Well, you know, the other thing is like, and with you, it was the TV thing. You know, with me, it's time and flooring. But like, no matter what you have, that is, you know, whatever your thing is, that thing that makes you happy that you can make money doing, like, you got to be a little gone to it. You know, you got to be a little crazy. You got to be a little psychotic and a little obsessive. Like, I come home from setting tile and I go online and look at other people setting tile.
Yes.
Like, I look forward to like trips and trade shows where I get to, oh, look at stuff about tile and flooring. And correct. Like, you know, people call me and message me and text me with questions about tile and flooring. Mm-hmm. That's what I chose. That's my path. And you know, like, you've got to be a little gone to it, man.
Well, correct. I mean, I'm excited. Like, I saw this opportunity, and this wasn't on my schedule today. But I'm so excited. Like, this is what I'm passionate about. Like, this is where I want to change the industry from. Because if we're not making money and we're not able to support ourselves, what's the point? Why are you doing this if you can't even support yourself? There's so many other opportunities out there. And so I, at a minimum, I want you to like break even, but, and not owe money. And I know people that end up going broke. In fact, you can go listen to the episode I did a couple years ago with Chuck Myers. Like, he was negative money every month doing it. How do you continue to live if you're going to end up negative money at the end of the month? That's insane. And he went to bat and he got the store to increase the rates for everyone that was working out of the store. But he went as a guy that understood some numbers, and he sat down. He didn't go and ask for more money. He said, hey, can we talk about this? I want to go over what it's costing me to work versus what the current rates are paying us. And can we have a discussion about it? And they sat down business owner to business owner and had an actual discussion instead of saying, hey, can I get $1.50 for carpet instead of $1.25? No,
that's
man, no, you can't have it.
Too, you know, that's not the taking a guess. Oh, I want another quarter a foot. Oh, I want another dollar a foot. It's somebody informing themselves and doing their homework and having that information available. Hmm. You know, every installer that wants to own a business should go take some business classes. I'm not saying go in, you know, for a 4-year degree and go $100,000 in debt like I did. Every college offers some business classes. Go take some marketing, go take some basic accounting, go take some, you know, business admin, take some IT, get a little computer, like every little thing. It's not just, oh, I'm going and taking this training from this manufacturer this week at this local flooring store, or, oh, I'm getting, excuse me, my CTI or my CFI or my NWFA. Like, you can have that same desire to learn on the business side, on the marketing side. It's all marketing. At the end of the day, we're all marketing companies before we're flooring companies.
Mm-hmm.
Have to market ourselves, or you're not going to have any floors to install.
The best way that I've learned to sum it up is you solve a problem. I get people that just don't understand it. In fact, my wife is looking for something to do. The kids are older now. She doesn't have to be around. And I was like, well, what skill sets do you have? What problems can you solve? And she was like, what? Nothing. I was like, you can do this. And I just start naming things off to her. You know, she's raised a special needs child for the past 12 years. You don't think that skill set's valuable? You could market yourself on local Facebook groups to moms that have newly born special needs children, and you can answer all kinds of questions or help them come up with, you know, plans of attack of how to go about this and help them change as like new things develop, because you have experience in that. People will pay for it. She likes planning things. Like when she was doing our Cub Scout stuff, she loves to plan events. I was like, okay, so like, come up with like 10 different birthday parties for kids and then go sell them, and people will pay you to just make the birthday party happen. And you already have it all planned. You just have to call the 5 vendors it takes, and you're going to make a buck on it. And she's like, you know, like, it starts getting you thinking, like, go figure out what problem you solve. Because here's the deal. the why you can't sell a backsplash for more than $500 versus Ken's $2,500 is that you only install a backsplash. Mrs. Jones doesn't care about the backsplash being installed. She cares about the beauty of her house. What's the actual problem she wants solved with that? Is she sick of the kids like getting the back wall wet, or behind the stove? Is she sick of trying to clean the spaghetti splatter off and having a ceramic backsplash is going to make that easier? I don't know, but she's going to tell me when I start asking her questions. And if I can figure out the problem I solve and I present the solution, as opposed to, yeah, it's $500 to do this, you can get $2,500 for a backsplash, because they want the solution. They don't want the surface.
I'm with you.
Okay. Well, come on. You got to throw something out there. It's too quiet, man.
You know, I just got into the zone, and I'm just like, I'm hyped. I'm so like, it is funny because, you know, going back to that Facebook post where like there was a couple guys that like, it seemed like they were mad. Like they were legitimately mad that I was choosing this. And I'm like, well, and I told you before, the funny thing is I didn't get this job, so I didn't even sell anything. You're just mad that I gave her that number. Like, whoa, dude, whoa.
I lost the project, and you're mad that I threw it out there. Okay, so now let's look at some of this, okay? Maybe you can't charge $2,500 for a backsplash, and it's not that you can't. You can do whatever you want. I've said it before of I could sell – I can sell a $1,000,000 floors. I can sell $100,000 $10 floors. To get to $1,000,000, right? And we can keep going through it, or I can do $100,000 floors or $1,000,000 floor. It might take me 10 years to find somebody crazy enough to pay me $1,000,000 for one floor. But I bet you if I focused on it 365 days a year, man, that's 3,650 days. I bet you I find that floor.
But you know what? If you think that you can sell $1,000,000 floor, you're right. If you think you can't sell $1,000,000 floor, you're also right.
Correct. But, you know, to go back, like, you can be mad that I threw that price out there, but that's what I did. Like, if I want to try and sell $1,000,000 floor, I'm going to go find $1,000,000 floor to sell, because that's what I set my brain to. And now I got bills to pay, so I got to make it work. But it's probably out there.
I can't be jealous of you selling $1,000,000 floor. Oh, I couldn't do that. And that wouldn't work here. Well, great. But, you know, it worked for you. So why am I going to be mad at that? I should be impressed. I should be motivated. I should be inspired. I should say, well, $1,000,000 floor. You know what? I'm going to sell $1,000,000 floor. That's going to be mine. I'm next. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to talk bad about you or tell me you're lying because you sold $1,000,000 floor. Like, who does that? Like, what is going on in your life? I'm genuinely concerned. What is going on in your life that you are so miserable that you have to call out people that you think are lying about not getting a job?
I think it becomes, you know, part of it's jealousy, part of it's an inability to think that you can accomplish it, and we can all accomplish. Look, I was the dollar a square foot guy.
Well, we all were at one point.
I just went and did. You know, I shut down Illustrious Hardwoods, and yet I'm still outbidding, although my stuff's active. But I don't want to do installs anymore. So it's a self level pour. It's 430 square feet. Although one corner is 3 inches low, and so it's probably like an inch and a half average across this 43-foot by 10-foot area that needs to be fixed. And I looked at it and it was going to be like 96 bags. I rounded up to 105 to be safe. And I told the guy $100 a bag. I was like 10-5 plus or minus $1,000. I'll write it up and get you some better numbers on it and explain everything. And I was there for like an hour consulting on it. But I either get it or I don't. But that's where I'm going to be at on it. $100 a bag, including product and material. It should take 3 days to prep, pour, and then go back and clean everything up on a third day. And I'll bring one guy in to help me do it. And that'll cost me, you know, I'll probably throw $500 at that guy because they're worth more than that. But that's fair pay. They're not providing any tools. They're literally coming and running the mixer for a half a day. That's it. They're going to run a mixer for half a day. $500 is amazing money. So it's, you know, I'm willing to pay for good help, but it's because it's built into it. And so I want the money. But here's the thing. If for some reason that cracks in 6 months, I have the money in it to go fix it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right. Well, I'm taking other considerations.
That's the other side of that. Because if you, by pricing yourself, you know, we see these repairs and these callbacks come up and everybody's like, I don't have time to do this, or how much should I charge to do this? Like, if I'm getting a callback for something like that, I've already made enough money to cover that. I don't have to pinch pennies and worry about, I'm just going to, you know, run over one morning before work and fix whatever needs fixing and move on. Like, I don't have to, I've priced myself to a point where I don't, and this is kind of counter what we're talking about, knowing your numbers. Mm-hmm. I feel like I want to price myself to a point where I can almost be ignorant about numbers, knowing that I've charged enough where it doesn't matter that I'm taking 2 hours to, you know, putz around at Mrs. Jones' house this morning and I don't even have to charge or anything because I'm, you know, it doesn't matter.
Like, no, I that's exactly it. That's the beauty of it. I want to be able to provide such a high level of service that if for some reason I end up having to be there an extra day. Look, I've dented two refrigerator doors. Both doors were over $300. They were like, you dented it. I didn't think twice. I said, oh, that sucks. I'm sorry. Let me get the model number. I'll go order that for you. I put a refrigerator into the corner bead at some lady's house as I was moving it. I just turned the corner and hit the dented the corner bead, and I immediately took a picture. I sent her a text. I was like, hey, so sorry this happened. I know you're getting the house painted, and I know that's going to happen after you get the flooring installed, so it's going to be a minute, but let me know what the painter charges to fix this, and I will send you the money as soon as you let me know. It was like 3 months later. She's like, hey, I finally got it fixed. It was $65. I was like, cool, I'll Zelle you right now. I don't care. You know, and it also comes down to, I think a lot of times people are freaking out about payroll at the end of the week and all that. I never worried about any of that. When I had someone working for me, there was always extra money sitting in the account because I was charging enough that I could, I didn't have to worry.
You always take care of the people first because that's who takes care of you. Your clients, what was that Branson that said, you don't worry about your clients first, you worry about your employees first and then take care of the clients. You know, same kind of thing. Your people are paid. Take care. It's fine.
Well, it's,
you don't have to pay pennies. And
yes, but I think a lot of people are they have so much mental space taken up by the fact that they don't know how they're going to make payroll and rent on Friday. They don't even have the time to sit here like we do and now consider, how do I improve my sales? How do I improve my marketing? How do I build my brand? How do I go and just enjoy myself and go hang out with tile friends and, you know, bullshit for a week in Vegas? Because the mental space isn't there to even be free to consider it. And that's the problem. If you could spend 10 minutes learning your numbers, you're going to change your life.
If you're worried about payroll at the end of the week, maybe you shouldn't have employees. If you can't afford employees and you're having problems making payroll, maybe having employees isn't for you. Mm-hmm. That might suck to say. That might be, you know, maybe Ken's being a dick. But you know what? If you aren't equipped to pay people, then you shouldn't have people working for you. Just like if you can't run a business, you shouldn't be running a business. Go do something else. I guarantee your stress is going to come down. I guarantee you're going to be making more money. Mm-hmm. You just have to, you know, be a strong enough person to admit when it's not a good fit.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with working for somebody else. There's a couple ways to look at it. And I don't want to, I'm going to insult you, Ken, although I don't think it's actually an insult.
Not at all.
So, you keep saying like not everyone's meant to run a business and if you can't run a business, then maybe you should go work for somebody else. I wouldn't consider you running a business. I would consider you owning a very lucrative job. And so I think there's actually like there's three categories, right? There's working for somebody else, there's owning your own job, and then there's running a business. And I don't think you're running a business until you get into having the employees and having to like manage a couple of crews and stuff like that, because then there's it is turning into more of a business. As an owner operator, you own a very lucrative job. But there's if you want to run it so that you're owning a very lucrative job, I'm cool with that because you actually understand the basics. And if you wanted to try and take it to the next level, you understand the steps necessary to do that. Whereas when you are owning a job, but you run it like it's a hobby and you're not making profit, like that's what's destroying us. Is it's the people that don't understand how to have extra money.
And not have to worry about all that nonsense. You know, I had, and it's funny, you know, I think we're splitting hairs with the business and job and career and that sort of thing. But, you know, and maybe not everybody knows this, but, you know, I was a subcontractor. I had 12 crews and 13 Lowe's stores and had all that, you know, going on. And, you know, after Lowe's went workroom style like Depot did back in the day, you know, I was the one that took a step back and decided to go out on my own. And, you know, and I've had other helpers throughout the year. We used to joke around, like my helpers have all been rock stars, like every single one of them. They were, you know, my brother-in-law was a police officer. I had another one that was a surgical tech. He moved out to Utah. My other helper, actually one of my favorite helpers was, he was a sponsored BMX rider while he was working for me. And then he went and enlisted in the Army. And I'm like, dude, all these guys are such better people than I ever was. I lucked out with some of those. I mean, I've had my share of knuckleheads too, but like those three, they were my rock stars, man. Mm-hmm. And, you know, go from that. And, you know, I was doing much more flooring than tile. So now I'm really at the point where like I'm in a shower, I'm in a bathroom. I don't really have space to bring helpers on. Like I guess maybe it's just the way I work. But I feel like I'm not equipped to have any use for a helper right now. I'm not, opposed.
If you don't want to run that kind of schedule, if you don't want the worry, because for me, it's a big deal to take somebody on. And oh, yeah, if I'm taking somebody on, man, I'm telling you, I'm going to provide you with a living, right? I'm going to keep you busy 5 days a week, 8 hours a day. You're going to get your 40 hours. You're going to make your money. You're going to be able to support yourself. That's a huge responsibility. And I don't know that I want to take on the person that only needs 3 days a week of work, because they're probably in a place that they're not very reliable. And I can't have that. Now, again, you're in a different boat. You're in a unique market. You're not looking for somebody full time. That may actually work out for you. You could maybe find somebody that fit that bill and would really work out. But that's, again, the each business is unique as the individual.
You're right about that quality of that person. Once you switch from somebody who's looking to hustle to somebody that doesn't really need to hustle, like there's definitely a switch in quality, a switch in mindset. So if that works for you, then great. But I remember having helpers and worrying about having work every day and keeping them busy. And like, you know, we even, when I had the warehouse space for Lowe's, I was, you know, taking carpet and padding and stuff in, and like, we'd make a shop day once a week if we were a little slow, like, and we would, you know, take the trucks in and clean the shop and cut padding and get orders and stuff. But like, but it was always that trying to keep busy so that, you know, because if you don't give them something, then they're going to look somewhere else.
Exactly.
And you can't hold them responsible for doing that because, you know, they got bills to pay too. But it's just, I am just in such a bitter mindset working solo and, you know, doing my own thing, coming and going as I please, not worrying about, you know, if my calendar is filled. And it's just, I'm so much, lowered my stress like so much. So it's just, you know, some things work for me that won't work for others. And, you know, it's nothing to say that if you're doing things differently, then you're any less or I'm any better. It really comes down to what makes you happy, what mm-hmm. you can, you know, what helps you provide for your family.
I was just at FASI. I went up to Fresno. I did the FASI event. I did a talk about numbers, right? So I got out the spreadsheet that I mentioned earlier and we went through it, and I had somebody come and we ran through it. And I was like, well, what are you charging per day now? And he was like, well, we're like 1400. And I was like, okay. And so we sit there and we run through everything. I was like, here's, you know, how much do you want to make a year? What's all the overhead costs, blah, blah, blah. And we get to the end and it turns out it was right around $1,400. I was like, hey, you're almost there. I was like, you forgot one part though. And he was like, what? Cause he was all stoked. He was like, yes, I knew it. Like, I'm right. I was like, hold on. I was like, you told me you have an employee. You're paying him. These numbers are only for you. You need 1400 a day.
That's not about it.
Cause he was like, he couldn't figure out why he wasn't hitting what he actually should have been. And I was like, because you need 1400. That other like 250 a day or 200 a day that's going out to the apprentice, that's why you're not making any money. You're $200 light every day because you have payroll expenses. So you need to be at 1600 or more a day to do it. And he was like, oh, like it all like started to click. And he was like, all right, I see how this all works together and I need to do it. It doesn't take long. We did that in 30 minutes. The demo, the demo video is 30 minutes, folks. You can change your life in 30 minutes.
Absolutely. How many guys are running around with no idea? Like they're just, you know, throwing a number on the wall, hoping it sticks because the guy down the road is charging that. So he's going to charge the same or a little bit less so he can get the job.
Yes. Well, look, you know, I said it earlier, right? Each business is as unique as the individual that owns it. So if you're going off of somebody else's numbers, you're probably going to go broke. The other way you could look at it is, well, if that's the average, then maybe you're probably going to land in it. But I'd rather know that I need to be 325 a square foot on something as opposed to three. And Ken's going to say, I don't do square foot pricing. I do day rates. Well, I started a day rate and I can get to square foot pricing. Like, I don't care how you do it. You need to know what to charge. And if you're probably going to land in that average, but you need to know if you need to be on the high or the low side based on your particular business model. And that's what's going to matter. Okay. And then we started hitting on it earlier. We can look at markets. Okay. Markets and demographics do play a factor. Not as much as you all want to claim. All right. Ken is in a unique market. He's on the East Coast. He's near an island that is second, third, fourth homes. That's very high income. It's all, they clearly have disposable income to just throw around and not care about. Does that play a factor in him being able to have higher rates? Yes, but that is not the only reason he can have higher rates. Okay, because they sure as hell, the F-150 is not more expensive on that island than it is in the slums of, you know, it's not more expensive than Compton. You know, it's not more expensive than it is in Baltimore. Like the cost of the F-150 is the cost of the F-150 minus shipping fees to get it there. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I said the MSRP is the same across the board, right?
Correct. There's got to be a base level minimum. And again, like if you look at your costs, you're going to find it. Once I started looking at my costs, like I couldn't run my business for less than $500. And that was that's not me making money to replace the vehicle, to replace the tools, to cover insurances, all this stuff, to buy the gas needed to go around every year. It was $500 a day, $500 a day, 230 days a year. And that was break even. I didn't get a salary at that point. So when I see people saying, well, I, you know, $500 for a backsplash and it's going to take you two and a half days, I can't even fathom how you buy a truck or a tool. But here's the thing. Because I know if I have this conversation, you're going to sit there and you're going to tell me, well, I haven't bought a truck and I can't afford a tool. That's a problem. Throw another 100 on it. Start with 100. You don't have to charge 2,500, but throw 100 on it. Call it 6. See if you sell it. See if you sell it at 6. And when they say yes, and they don't even question it, make the next one 7. Get crazy. Yep. Maybe 8. Like,
and you didn't
just try.
You got 49 no's in a row, right? That's the number. 49 no's, and then you got to change your strategy.
What I don't care what whatever you want to make it, right? Like I think you're 20 to, like, as an owner operator, you're 20 to 30% close rate. I shot for 30 to 40, and I was happy there. Like, that's something you need to know. Like, do you need 3 out of 10, 4 out of 10? How many out of 10 do you need? And if you're not hitting that, then you can adjust. But you have to know what the bare minimum is. And if you don't know that, go figure it out. That's the whole point of this, is you're all throwing around these numbers. You're all coming in these groups every day. How much should I charge for this? I get it. You're trying to get an idea. But you wouldn't need to ask others if you knew what it costs to run your business, because you have an idea of how long it's going to take you to do a task. And if you don't, then you're very, very new. And at least preface the question with, I haven't bid anything yet. Can you help me out? We're happy to help them.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, so for every naysayer, for every hater, for everybody, you know, for every person that has something of a contrasting view to say or post, you know, on one of, you know, on something I put up, there's 5, 10 in my inbox asking me how I did what I did. Mm-hmm. You know, how do you figure this? How do you do this? And, you know, and yes, that's going to be different. How I do things is going to be different than what might work for you. You know, what works for me might not work for you, but at least I can give you the information that I use in my strategies. And if it works for you, great. And if it doesn't, then, you know, there's 7,000 other members that might have a better idea than me. You know, I'm not the end all be all of tile flooring or running a business. I just play my cards. You know,
there are certain constants. You have to know what it costs you to run. I don't care what math you use to get there. I don't care how you market your company, but you have to do some kind of marketing and advertising. And those are two different things. There's certain constants, but you can manipulate it to fit you within that. The other beauty of this whole thing is that you should be charging enough so that you can pay people to do the shit you hate. That's the beauty of running a business. Yeah. You get to pay people to do the shit you hate. You don't like advertising? Cool. Find a reliable advertiser. I didn't want to do my books. Am I smart enough to do them? Sure. Would it take me longer than it takes my bookkeeper? I don't do my taxes. I pay a tax guy. I don't want to deal with it. Do I understand them? Could I figure it out? Yes. Is it worth my time? No. Yeah. If I can pay somebody, right? It got to, let's see. So my time was being valued on the floor at $133 an hour. And I think that got me to my $1,100 or $1,200 a day, whatever that comes out to. Mm-hmm. $125 to $133 an hour. So I started looking at everything as to how do I leverage that? So if I go spend an hour doing my books, I lost $125. But if I can be out, if I can pay somebody $30 to $45 an hour to go do my books, and I can go land a project to put another $5,000 in my pocket in that time span, I'm doing it right. Now I'm leveraging my time. I'm buying back time to go make even more. But when you aren't charging enough, you're always chasing the dollar so that you never can buy any of your time back. What's the point? Why are you doing it then? That's what I don't get. Is you're all angry, but Ken's over here spending time with his kids in the middle of the day on a Tuesday. I don't know. What are you angry about, man? I'd be jealous as hell and saying, how do you do that? How do I get to spend time with my kids in the middle of the day on a Tuesday? How do I go hang out with them at lunch?
That is like, it just boggles my mind. I don't understand. Like, it's not, and I mean, this, you know, it has happened before where somebody said, oh, you're bragging. I'm like, well, it's not bragging. It's a discussion. That's kind of the whole point of having this online community, is so that we can discuss things with each other and help each other and, you know, show what I'm having problems with and show what I'm doing good. And, you know, if something that I'm doing can help you, I'm all about sharing. Because my hope is that something that I'm struggling with, you're doing really well and you're sharing that. And, you know, it can help me become successful.
Mm-hmm. What's your famous line? Go ahead, throw it out there.
Which one? Rise by lifting others, right?
There we go. Rising tide lifts all boats, right? Like,
lifts all ships.
That's,
oh, and, yeah. It's, you know, and I've told my girls that since they were little. You know, we rise by lifting others. That's how you make things better. You know, you can't make things better for anyone else by just being negative and talking smack and, you know, being antagonistic. You know, That's not why we're here. That's not why we've put so much effort into this, you know, these online communities that we have. You know, it's to build each other up. And you
I
want to I want to see every installer who wants to be a successful entrepreneur, I want to see them, you know, killing it and, you know, charging more than me and doing better than me. I don't, you know, I'm not comparing myself to others. I'm comparing myself to what I was yesterday.
Well, I spent a long time. I was the salty dude in the corner, man. I had a chip on my shoulder. I thought I was owed it all. I you know, I was jealous of what everybody else had. These online communities, like, I met people that were in a better position than me, but they were willing to help me get there. So they changed my mindset. They changed my outlook. They gave me the tools to be able to do it. And that's one of the places that, like, Floor Academy has come from, is that the flooring industry changed my life. I love each and every one of you, even when you are the saltiest, crustiest dude in the corner that, like, hates his life because you're a freaking flooring installer still. Like, I love you to death. You are amazing because of the artisanship that you bring to the table. Like, you are an awesome individual. But I want to help everybody get a lifestyle lift, because that's what I was given. And it was in, I don't like it when people are like, I can't charge that. That doesn't work in my area. I'm going broke doing this. Like, it doesn't make sense to me.
You're doing it wrong.
Because I changed my life in 3 years through the flooring industry. And so it goes back to what we've said earlier. Maybe you shouldn't be working for yourself. There's plenty of people that will pay you very, very well. And I don't want to hear it that, you can't pay me enough. I put $100,000 a year offer out there, and I was going to provide the truck, the trailer, the tools, match, do a 3% IRA match. And, you know, I'd look at other benefits down the road. And I had guys telling me that they wouldn't come work for me because they make more. And I call bullshit, because here's the difference, is I was saying that I was going to pay you $100,000 net, which means you actually get the $100,000. You're looking at your 1099 slip and you see that it says $250,000, $300,000 for the year, but that includes all of your expenses. And so what did you actually walk away with after taxes? Like, and some of these guys I know aren't getting at a $300,000 1099, you're probably getting your $100,000. But The point is that there's plenty of people that are not making that $100,000, but they don't understand the difference between gross and net. And this goes back to getting a basic business education. Ken says go to college. I say go to Floor Academy and listen there, because it's free. You don't even have to spend the money. You can do it. Well, here's the best part. Learn while you earn. You can do it during the day on the job site. Put your earbuds in and do it. And if you don't like what I have to say, there's this wonderful space called YouTube. Go find somebody you do like listening to. It's all free. Go learn. Go change your life, because it's totally possible. I think Ken was managing a Pac Sun? Sun, you were doing the sun, the sunglasses hut. What, which one?
No, I came from soft good retail. So I started out in Old Navy that was owned by the Gap. Then I went over to PacSun and managed a couple PacSun stores. And then I went over to Lowe's and was working on the retail side before I got into installing.
But look, this, you had a different skill set. I get that. You fell into this. It's worked really well. You've enjoyed it. You've been able to turn it into something. There's tons of opportunity here. And it's only...
Oh, it's entirely each and every one of us. It's if you... We have this capacity to learn and to try new things. And, you know, you can do whatever you want to do. If you feel trapped, like you're just... There's no reason to be trapped in our industry. There's so much cool stuff out there. There's so many awesome people. Like, whatever you think is holding you back, it's all up here. That's it, mm-hmm. man. You got to just jump. You can't fly if you don't jump.
Well, it's so change is uncomfortable. I get that, right? What nobody remembers is that you were all scared to learn how to ride your bike. But because now you don't think about it, you just hop on a bike and you go. But at the time, you were most likely freaked out. Your parents had to convince you that it was going to be okay. They were going to hold the handlebar in the back of the seat and push you around and get you going. And you scraped your knee a couple of times. Change was hard. You don't remember learning to walk. Learning to walk was hard. But you didn't think about it. You just did it because that's what we do as babies. That all of a sudden you become this informed, so brilliant human being that's an adult. And you're like... Oh, that's I don't want to do that because it's hard. It's not hard. It's uncomfortable. And so The amount of uncomfortableness you experience not doing well in this industry has to outweigh the uncomfortableness you'll experience to go change how you do it. And most people aren't there, sadly. And it scares the crap out of me because I see some people in some really uncomfortable situations. I'm like, the resilience you have to stay okay there as opposed to try and learn a new skill set is like your ability to withstand something is amazing. If you would just flip the mindset and go withstand being uncomfortable to grow, you could change your life so much faster. It's not hard to learn a new skill set. I know it sucks, but that's what I'm doing all day.
Mindset is so much more than we think it is. Mm-hmm. And you just have to, you know, get up here and flip that switch and, you know, the rest is up to you, but you gotta jump, man. You gotta take that jump.
Definitely. I didn't even realize we've been going just over an hour. So I think we've probably killed it. There's a bunch of good comments for us all to go and read. I've kind of tried to bring some of it in as we went, which I don't usually. Thanks everybody for paying attention to this, like, you know, little special edition. I think I'll throw this out as a bonus podcast on the channel. Again, look, if you're really struggling with your numbers, FloorAcademyPod.com. And then go to the resources tab, click on the files link, business budget calculator, download it. Okay. If you're struggling with it, you can go to the Floor Academy YouTube and there is a video on how to use that. If you want to learn, put a link in the comments on the video and I'll put a link. I'll respond with you to the link directly to that video. It walks you through how to calculate all this stuff out so that you can do better. You may not end up at a $2,500 backsplash, but maybe it's a $1,500 backsplash. And if that's what you need, if that's what your numbers are, good for
maybe
you.
Maybe it's a $4,500 backsplash.
Could be.
Right?
I got a company in Texas that I know might be more expensive than you. I think they're pretty close, but it's their overhead numbers say that that's where they need to be. And it is what it is.
Places again.
It's not about places. It's about numbers, right? In order to provide employees with this type of living and standard, like we have to charge X amount of dollars. There's a shop involved. There's a warehouse involved. There's forklift involved. There's trucks and trailers and there's a lot of overhead. It gets expensive. The bigger you get, the more that it costs.
Somebody in that area could just match that price and be making all that profit without all that overhead cost. If they're just aware of what's going on around them.
Well, you also have to deliver the experience and the quality. That's there is, it's more than just price, folks. Like maybe we go a minute longer. I think a lot of people get hung up on the price because they don't understand what comes with it. Like, they just think about the dollars. And so there is something to be said of, just because you can't afford it doesn't mean you shouldn't sell it at that rate. I couldn't afford my floors for the longest time.
I couldn't afford me.
Exactly. But I finally built up a bank account, and the day I woke up and I realized I could actually buy a floor for myself, oh my God, I was elated. I was like, oh, I've made it. I'm rich. Like, I felt great. And I wasn't rich, but I was rich for me at the time. Like, my wife, I'm waiting on a couple of checks right now to come in, and my wife and I aren't worried, and it's a significant amount of money. And 10 years ago, when our, you got to go a little bit, and my son's 14 now, 14 years ago, when we just got in this house and my son was born, if there was like a $200 check coming in, I was looking out this window that's right in front of me in my room right here, watching for the mailman to come. I ain't waiting on no $200 check. I'm waiting on checks much larger than that. I'm just like, when they get here, it's cool. Like, I've gotten to a different place. I'm accustomed to different things, but that, like, you have to have the mindset that it's okay. Like, you can, just because you can only afford a $500 backsplash doesn't mean Mrs. Jones won't pay $2,500 for it. But then you have to deliver on the quality that comes with a $2,500 backsplash too. When the beer cans and the cigarette butts are falling out of your truck when you get there in the morning, and then you trash your house and dust it up.
You read my mind. That's exactly what I thought of, because everybody always is like, you know, I'm very strict about there. There's no smoking on my job sites. There's no, you know, drink. There's no, you know, and even when I had crews, like, I was always very strict about the, I won't hire smokers. I won't hire drinkers. But that's part of the Skyro experience.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's why I can charge.
If you can go sell one for more, what's a HEPA thing on, like, the HEPA thing that everyone, the little blue box that everyone buys on Amazon, it's like $500 maybe.
Something like that.
Man, if you can charge $500 more on one job, you can buy that HEPA filter, and now you can start claiming that you have a cleaner experience than everybody else in your area. You just upped your value. You can get $500 more on every project.
Not everybody thinks like that.
It's not just about the dollars. People don't care about the dollars. They care about you solving the problem and the experience they get. There's money out there, folks. I promise you. I'm happy to talk about it. Ken's happy to talk about it. And it's not, I don't want you to, like, it sounds like we're focused on the money. I don't want you to think that this is the message, charge more. That's not what we're telling you to do. Okay. Charge more is not the fix for this industry. It's a great message, but it is short term. What we're telling you is to go learn your numbers and charge appropriately based on your business model. Not Bob's, not George's, yours. That's the message. All right. Soapbox done, I think. Questions? Anybody, like, come at us in the comments. Happy to discuss. I know Ken is. We're here. I thought it was interesting that this happened. I've been looking to have this conversation. And it's always a pleasure, my friend.
Absolutely. Anytime.
All right. We will look, we're around, folks. You know where to find us. We're not shy out here on Facebook land or the internet. Like, come at me, bro. Come at me. I'm happy to talk. It'll be fun. I would love to see, like, anybody that was against the $2,500 backsplash this morning. Like, I don't see you watching this video. So I don't know. I hope you find this and we get into it. I would love to have an actual, like, I don't want to argue. I want to discuss. I want to know where you're at.
I hope they find they're happy. I hope they can, you know, choose kindness and find balance in their lives and not be so angry.
Yes. All right, folks, we're out of here. We'll catch you later, and enjoy the rest of your, afternoon to early evening. Later.